Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to continue talking a little bit about serving the Lord. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, three things that make a successful servant. It's one thing to serve God. We talked about that in Sunday school. We ought to serve Him. But it's another thing to be a successful servant. And I want to help you this morning, if I can, to see what the Lord says about how to be a successful servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 50. And I'm going to ask if you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning. We'll begin at verse number 50. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians at Corinth. And he was talking to them about the great things that God has prepared for them in the future. And he wrote these words to the Corinthians. He said, verse 50 said, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he's talking about the future for these Corinthians. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in those verses 50 through 57, he's telling them about what God has planned for them in the future. Now, in verse 58, he says this, therefore, because of what God has done for you and because of what God is going to do for you, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, again, we want to thank you. Thank you for Sunday school. Thank you for the good time we've had. And Brother Keith was right. We ought to have fun in church. We ought to have a good time in church. And because of just the great things that you have done for us. And Father, I just pray now that you might bless in a wonderful way. We're going to talk a little bit from your word about in similar area of this morning's Sunday school. But I do pray that you would speak to hearts. And I pray that decisions would be made this morning for God and for good. And Father, bless, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. In this chapter of Scripture, Paul's talking to the Christians at Corinth, and he was telling them about how good God had been to them. By the way, that's a good place for us to stop. Is there any way to turn me up, or is that impossible? Just a little bit. He was talking about how good God... You have to go through there to do that, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Where'd he come from? He was talking about how good God had been to them. And again, I say that's a good place for us to stop. We ought to stop and realize how good God has been to us. I mean, God has... Listen, we talked this morning about all the things that God has done for us. God has been good to us. The person who's in the worst shape this morning in this building, God has still been good to you. Amen. I mean, we're just up. We're able to make our way somehow. God has been good to us. Even this church. I was just thinking, you know, I'm old enough now. I just say what I think and I don't even worry about it anymore. You know, I'm not trying to figure anything out or figure what you like, what you don't like. Now, I loved when I used to come over to
Yeah, see, isn't that great? I've already forgotten the name. Isn't that good? I used to come over to Gospel Light. I loved it over there. But I'll tell you what, the Spirit right now in this place to me is sweeter than it was over there. It was pretty good over there, but it's sweeter than it was over there. Listen, you ought to thank God for what He's done here. This is a great crowd to start. You've got a nice building. God's been good to us. Well, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about how good God has been to them, and then he talks to them about what all God's going to do in the future. He said, one of these days, the Lord's coming back. He's going to bring, listen, He's going to change your vile body into a glorious body like His own, and He's going to take you out of here, and you're going to be in heaven with Him for all of eternity. And he began to tell them how good God had been to them. Then Paul, in this passage, encourages them to serve the Lord. And basically he says this, because God has been good to you, because God has saved your soul, because Jesus is coming back, because we're going to be raptured out of here, because you're going to go to heaven, because you're going to live there forever, because you're going to have a new body, because there's going to be no sickness. I mean, all of these things, he said, because of those things, you ought to serve God. But then, and I like this, then Paul throws in a bonus. He said, not only should you serve God for all He's done for you, but he said you ought to serve God because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, not only do we owe God to serve Him for what He's done and what He's going to do, but also God says, hey, I'm going to give you rewards. And you'll get some rewards when you get to heaven. I'm going to give you all these things. And he said, so serve Him because He's been good to you, but also serve Him because He is that your labor is not in vain. You're going to be rewarded for what you do. And there are great rewards we're going to get in heaven. And the good thing is, we're going to get all these rewards for what we do for God. You're going to get a reward for building this work. You're going to get a reward for winning a soul. You're going to get a reward for cleaning the building. You're going to get, there are going to be rewards for serving the Lord. But then he said, you serve God for what He's done. You serve God because He's going to reward you. And then Paul goes on and says, but if you're going to be a servant, then you need to be a good servant, a great servant for the Lord, a successful servant. And he said, you're going to have to do three things if you're going to be successful. Now, how many of you are saved? I'd love to do this. Pray that me again if you're saved. That guy's born this morning. He must be saved. What is that? Oh, I thought it was a truck coming through. I did. It comes again. All right, am I okay? Okay. The sound man does as good a job as the song director. They're both right on par with each other. He said there are three things you're going to have to do if you're going to be a successful servant. Now, how many of you saved? Wave at me. Okay. How many of you want to serve God? All right, now, if you're going to serve God, how many of you want to be a successful servant? I do. I want to be successful for the Lord. So, I'm going to give you three things this morning. That's good for you to know, because when I get the first one done, you'll say, well, there's only two left. And then when I get the second point, you'll say, hey, we're almost done. By the third point, you're going to be thinking about the roast beef or whatever it is that's back there. You're going to be thinking about that. So I'm going to give you three things. If anybody will do these three things, you can be successful at anything you do. I mean successful for God, but I mean also successful in secular things. Whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, it's good. If you'll do these three things, you will be a success. So let me give you three things real quickly. I'm just going to hit them, and we're going to be done. Number one is this. Look at verse number 58. Here's what Paul said. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. Three things you're going to have to do to be successful. Number one, you're going to have to be steadfast. Number two, you're going to have to be unmovable. And number three, you're going to have to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, let's just hit them. Number one, he said, you're going to have to be steadfast. Now, I wanted to know what I was talking about when I came here. Worst thing you could do is get up here and you have no idea what you're talking about. So I wanted to know what I was talking about. Hey, look, he's staying on alert for an emergency. I wanted to know what I was talking about. And so I looked up the word steadfast in the dictionary because I wanted to be able to tell you what it means. Now, first let me explain to you what a dictionary is. A dictionary is a book. You don't punch any keys or do anything or talk to it. It's a book. It's got two covers. And it's usually pretty thick because it's got like A, B, C, and all the words. And it's called a dictionary. Well, I looked up in a dictionary to see what steadfast means. When I looked it up, there were four definitions and there were 22 synonyms for the word steadfast. So I put them all together and divided because I wanted to get what's the basic meaning of steadfast. Because God said, that's one third of what you've got to do to be successful, to do something great for God, you've got to be steadfast. So I looked it up, put it all together, and I came up with this definition. Here's a simple definition. Here's what steadfast means. It means don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. One of the things that I'm excited about is that you guys, and I don't want to say too much, but I'm just saying, you guys are no longer where you used to be, but you're not sitting home wondering, well, what do we do now? You're not quitting. You're going again. Got something moving again. Begin a building. Get the thing going. Hey, listen, there's enough room in this area, there's enough room where I live for dozens more good Bible preaching churches. There are not too many churches here. So I'm glad you're being steadfast. You're not quitting. If we are going to be the kind of servant God wants us to be, we can never quit. There is no retirement from God's army. Now, I hear about preachers all the time down south. This must just be a southern thing. I don't know. But preachers are retiring. They're just retiring and that's it. They're not going to preach. I couldn't do that. Could you do that? Just stop preaching. They just retire and they're not preaching anymore. Listen, there's no retirement from God's army. Troubles are going to come. Problems are going to come. Setbacks are going to come. Physical problems are going to come. Cancer may come. Financial burdens may come. But we never, ever are supposed to quit. We're just supposed to keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on for God. Now, you're going to get knocked down. Everybody gets knocked down. Amen? My wife, the day that the doctor said it's cancer, I'll not forget that. I forget everything else in life. But I think from here on, I might be able to remember the things that happened from here on. Forgotten everything else. But I remember she called me. It's been 4 or 5 years ago now. She called me and she just simply said, the doctor said it is cancer. And we knew that was bad news because her mother died with cancer, her sister died with cancer, her brother died with cancer, the siblings all died with cancer at early ages. And so we knew, and she's thinking about cancer all of her life because they all had it and they all died from it. And so we knew that was bad news. But the thing was, we decided we're not going to quit. Hey, if you get knocked down, the doctor says cancer, what do? Get back up again. A trouble comes, you get knocked down, get back up again. Heartache comes, people talk about you, gossip about you, friends turn on you, whatever, and we're going to get knocked down, folks. We're going to get knocked down. Man's days are numbered and full of sorrows, the Bible says. Somebody says, well, if you just get saved, it's just a bowl of peaches and cream or cherries and cream or whatever. It's a nice, easy road once you get saved. That is a lie born out of hell. It's not an easy road. At least it wasn't for me. I was doing pretty good till I got saved. Then all of a sudden, people didn't like me anymore. Troubles came. The devil fought. Let me just tell you something. When you get saved, it's not a smooth road. It's a bumpy road. But God gives us good shock absorbers. Amen. And so, the Bible says we're to be steadfast. You get knocked down, you get back up. Curtis Hudson said this. Curtis Hudson said, you cannot whip a man that won't stay down. See, Brother Campbell could have said, well, that's it for me. I'm old and tired anyway. But he got back up. What are you going to do with somebody like that? Knock them down and keep getting back up. You don't win the battle till somebody stays down. And if a man won't stay down, then you can't whip him. You just can't whip him. And that's the way it ought to be with every Christian in this room. We've got to... Listen, we're working for a higher power than some man or some preacher or so whoever. We're working for God. And we do what God says to do. And we are going to... Listen, we are not going to quit. We're going to be steadfast. That's how you become a great servant. You want to know who makes it in business? Somebody who just won't quit. Won't stay down. Trouble comes, lose a sale, whatever it is. They keep getting back up. Can I say this? And I'm not sure if I want to mention this name or not. Because I don't like, there are two names that are associated and I don't like either one of them. One of them is called Hillary Clinton. And one of them is called Donald Trump. And I'm trying not to get myself in trouble right now. But you let me tell you something. Now, you do what you want to do, okay? If you want to be dumb, I'm not going to stop you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've got your hope in either one of those two, your hope is misplaced. Now, are we better off with one than we are the other? I think probably so. Only because... Oh, and I have to... All right, let me tell you how to vote. Here's how you vote. When you go into the booth, you go like this. And you pull a lever. I'm not voting for anybody. I'm just voting to keep the biggest communist out of there. Listen, I want my kids and my grandkids to get to live in an America that has a little bit of freedom left. But I'm just saying this. Now, there's another guy's name is Trump, Donald Trump. If you've never heard of him, his reputation is huge. It's huge. Donald, and I'm not saying anything about elections now. I don't like either one of them. But Donald Trump, business-wise, has built an unbelievable billion-dollar fortune. Now, I'll say one thing about Donald Trump. I'm not saying this in a good way. I'm just saying one thing about... There's one thing about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not a quitter. Right or wrong, bad or good... He just won't quit. I don't care. You come up with whatever you want to come up with on him, and he just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. Now, I'm just saying this. I don't care what it is. If you will not quit, you cannot be beat. Say, I wonder if this church, I wonder if Solid Rock Baptist Church is going to make it. Shouldn't be any question about that. Yes, it's going to make it, because we ain't quitting. Say, well, which way do you think it'll go? It's going to get bigger. It's going to get better. And God's going to bless it. Why? Because we learned a long time ago, we've got to be steadfast. We cannot quit. All right, now let me give you the second thing, and I'll get you out of here, because I know you got that hungry look on your face. So let me give you a second thing. So number one, he said, you've got to be steadfast. He said, now, if you want to be a successful servant, you've got to be unmovable. Well, I went back to the dictionary to find out what unmovable means. And I found a bunch of definitions, a bunch of synonyms, and put them all together. And here's basically what it means to be unmovable. It means don't ever change. Don't ever change. Don't listen. Steadfast, we're not going to quit. But not only are we not going to quit, we are not going to change. Let me tell you, I'm sick and tired. Mrs. Burwell and I travel the country and we go to so-called independent, fundamental Baptist churches that I doubt if they're even Baptist. Their music is gone. They don't believe in the King James Bible anymore. Just all liberal contemporary services. We don't go back if we go to one like that, by the way. We don't go back. I would rather a preacher quit, resign the ministry, go get a job as a plumber and make an honest living than I would for him to change, because when he changes, he hurts a bunch of God's people as he goes. We're never supposed to change. Hey, Solid Rock Baptist Church, King James Version, not going to change, not going to accept the other perversions. We are King James people. It never change. We're not going to change on soul winning. We're not going to change on bus ministry. We're still going to remember way back when you can hardly remember anymore, when Dr. Howe's choir got up and sang the song that you sang this morning about a need for people to hear the gospel. Don't change. You know, I say what I want to say. I am so rich that I don't need a love offering. Now, if you believe that, I really do, because I got to make the next payment on this jacket. But but I say what I'm old enough, I can say what I want, okay? What are you going to do, fire me? When your people got up and sang, Brother Keith, I don't know if this is by design or not. Oh, I like where you wear your glasses. I'm not sure if this is by design or not. But I sat there. I would have normally said something to Ms. Burwell, but I didn't. I just sat there. I sat there, and I looked at the choir. First thing, I felt sorry for you. One man and all those women. But then I looked at the choir, and I thought, every one of those ladies is dressed like a Christian lady. And I thought, praise God, we don't get to see that where we go. In the best independent Baptist churches we go to, the leadership, listen, just down south, women do not know how to dress. They're as low cut as they can be. Their dresses are short. In the church I'm talking about. Pastors' wives don't know how to dress. And I'm going to tell you what, it's refreshing to be in a place. You say, well, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, I started coming to your church years ago. Nothing has changed. Everybody's still trying to dress like they should have or in a place of leadership. Still a King James Bible. Still talk about soul winning. Still teach the Word of God. Still trying to build. Still having a vision. Hey, we're not supposed to ever change. And don't listen. Don't you feel bad about the songs you sing? You thank God we sing the old-time songs. Amen. Mrs. Burwell, the song she sang this morning, I never heard it before. Of course, she's a much better Christian than I am, and she's been saved longer than I have. But I never heard that song. But I said to myself, no, wait a minute. We don't want to sing anything that's new. You know, we want to sing some of the old stuff. But she had already looked it up. When was that song written? It was like 1929 or something. I said, I think that's old enough, probably. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Don't ever be ashamed of dressing modestly like the Bible says. Hey, I would rather have men make fun of me, other people at the churches make fun of me, then I would not be where God wants me to be. Be proud of it. I'm old folk. I like my hair. You'd like it too if you had some. My hair, listen, you remember when I went through all that, men growing their hair long? Don't get mad at me if you got long hair. I'm not mad at you. But you remember when the guy's hair they were letting it grow long and all that kind of stuff. You remember that little period of time. Well, a lot of Christians did that. Let the hair grow. Now, the difference between me and those Christians are, they used to have short hair. They let their hair grow to be in style. And then when the style went out, they went back to short hair. I just never changed. Not supposed to change. Not supposed to change. Because the world changed. You're not supposed to change with Hollywood. You're supposed to stick what the Bible says. When I was born, my hair was already combed. When I was born, it was right like it is now. I had a little peak right here. I've kept it that way the whole time. You know why? I ain't changing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be the kind of servant that is successful, if you want to be the kind of servant that says, hey, my bus route's growing. Hey, my Sunday school class, too, got saved. Hey, we're going to add a couple more pews. If you want to be a successful servant, then you're going to have to be steadfast. Don't ever quit. And unmovable. Don't ever change. Here's the last thing and we're done. Number three. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I looked it up. Here's what it means. Never settle for less than victory. Always abounding, never settling for less than victory is what it means. Here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to give God your best. Now let me just tell you this. You can always be victorious because when you give all you have to give, God then, if you've given all you have to give, if you've given all the energy you have to give, God will give you what's necessary to make that a victory. When you've given all you could do to help to buy the new bus, you gave above and beyond, you're not even sure how you're going to pay your electric bill now because you've given the extra. It's not enough to buy the bus, but God will add, God will send whatever's necessary so you can get the victory. God always fills in the gap if we do our best. Our job is to do our best. Let God then bless that. Had a preacher call me. Who was it? I'm not going to tell you that story. And you'll wonder forever. Oh, if I could think of who it was, I'd tell you, but I don't want to say something out of place. I know who it was. I can tell you the story. I had a preacher call me from Upper State, New York, who just went there a couple of years ago and took the church. That was who it was, right? He went up there. I was afraid it might have been you, and I didn't want them to say, well, that's us! And he called me and he asked me, this was probably 6 months ago, he said, would you pray for two things? Would you pray that I can be full-time with the church? Because he went up there, just a small little church. Pray that I can be full-time. Pray that we can get a van so we can start bringing people in. So I began to pray for that. Well, he called me yesterday and we talked about it. He said, well, preacher, he said, I'm not full-time with the church. But he said, the job that I had was taking all of my time. I had to bring work home and all that. He said, that is all. He said, the Lord gave me a new job. And he said, I'm making the money that I need to make. He said, the job, the way I'm driving people to from rest homes to doctors and things like that. And he said, sometimes I'll take a patient to the doctor's or hospital. I'll sit there for 2 or 3 hours in the van. Nothing to do until they're done, until they come out. He said, it's given me time to study. He said, it's almost like being full-time. Give me time to study and all of these things and serve the Lord. He said, so I'm really excited about that. I said, great, God answered that prayer. Then he said this. I'm showing you how God will make up the slack. I said, well, I've been praying about your van, too. Have you gotten any further on your van? He said, well, we don't have a van yet. But he said, it's funny you asked, because he said, just a little church of poor people. I think they probably have 30 people. He said yesterday or day before yesterday, someone gave me, they said, well, I want to help you with the van, but I want to do it anonymously. And they gave me a check for $5,000 toward the van. Now, listen. When folk do all they can, when you do all you can and give God your best and you've tried your hardest, then God will come in and God will give you the victory. You can always be abounding. You can always be winning the victory. Never settle for less than victory. I mean, never settle. This church ought to never settle for less than victory. This church is going... I look to the day that this church has the biggest building in town. That can happen. Do you believe God? Do you have a big God or you got a little God? Say, we've got a big God, but we've got little pocketbooks. Well, let me just tell you, He owns cattle on a thousand hills. He'll give you... It's amazing what God can do if we just believe Him. And this, it's already started here. And so I just pray, listen, don't ever quit. Don't ever change. Stay like you are. Whether you believe it or not, there are thousands of people out here within driving distance of this church that really do want a church that believes the Bible and preaches the Bible. They're out there. It's just a matter of you going out and being faithful and God sending them in. And always abounding in the work of the Lord. Never settling for less than victory. Now, what's the result when we're done? What will happen? If I am steadfast, I don't quit. If I'm unmovable, I don't change. And I will not settle for less than victory. What are the results? Well, here's what the Bible says. The result will be this. You will be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's number one. You'll be a faithful servant for God. And your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. You'll be rewarded for it. Now, folk, I'm saying this. If you're here this morning and you're saved, then you ought to say, this is a great time. Brand new church, just getting started. It's a great time to come to an old-fashioned altar and just say, I'm just renewing this vow to the Lord. I am not going to quit. I am not going to change. I'm not settling for less than victory. I am going to do my part. Because here it is. This church will never succeed until you succeed, and you succeed, and you succeed, and you succeed in serving the Lord. And when that army begins to succeed, great things will happen in the church. You have a great leader. I believe, preacher, you have a great people. And the bottom line is, we serve a great God. We need to just... Listen, don't ever... Let me just... And I'm going to quit for the last time. Let me tell you this. Here's the biggest thing I see in churches. And I'm not... Look, nobody will even know I've been here. 2 weeks from now, nobody will know whatever happened here. Nobody remembers the sermons. So let me just say this. The biggest problem I see in the churches today is we sit in a pew, we hear the Word of God, God speaks to our hearts, but for some reason the devil fights, does not want you on your face at an altar. He just doesn't want that. And I'm going to tell you something, we're never going to see success until we're ready to move when God says move. Till we're ready to say, there's nothing, I'm not ashamed. That altar is not my idea, and that's not Pastor Campbell's idea, that's no preacher's idea. That altar is God's idea. For whatever reason, you say, well, I can talk to God in my seat. Yeah, I know you can. But He, for some reason, wanted to build... Listen, in the Old Testament, sometimes before they'd ever make a decision, there is no altar. They'd build an altar so they could make their decision there for God. Listen, you have an altar. This is as much in a commercial building. That's as much the altar of God is in the fanciest church in town. And it's a place where we need to learn to come and bow our knee. This morning, you need to come and you need to... You say, preacher, I can't kneel down. You don't have to kneel down. Stand up. Settle in the front pew here. Whatever you have to do. I understand. Sometimes we physically can't get up and down. But we need to at least make the move and come and say, God, I'm coming to your place. I'm coming to the altar. It's a place you ordained. And I'm telling you that if you'll help me, I will be steadfast. I won't quit. And I will not change. And I will not settle for less than victory. Nothing's driving me out of this place. I'm staying. And I'm back. I'm a preacher. And we're going to build something great for God. Let me tell you something. If you have been wronged, it's your duty to prove you're God's people by rising up and doing something great. That's all God needs. That's all God. Just show them God's still on the throne. The building's not the issue. God is the issue. You need to come. There's an old-fashioned altar. You ought to use it. If you're here and you're not saved, then may I say God wants to save you this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And if you're not saved this morning, would you just slip your hand up and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? If you're like that, would you lift your hand real quickly? Anywhere in the auditorium. God bless you. Lord bless you. Amen. Anyone else? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be. I want to be. All right, you're going to have an opportunity this morning in just a minute when the music starts. You're going to be able to come. If you're not sure you're saved, if you'll just step out here to an old-fashioned altar right here where the offering plates are, somebody will show you how to be saved. You'll leave here knowing you're a Christian, knowing you're going to heaven when you die. If you're here and you're a Christian, you ought to make the first move. This altar just meets our needs this morning. We need to come and say, God, you can count on me. You come as God speaks to your heart. Let's all stand. The music's going to start playing. As it does, would you just come on and come right now? Christian, you need to make the first move. You need to. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to settle for less than victory. I'm coming. And then if you're not saved, you come and just stand here by the Lord's Supper table and somebody will show you how to be saved. Now, if you lifted your hand, you said, I'm not saved. Wouldn't you come right now? Let us show you how to be saved. It'll take just a second. You'll leave here knowing you're going to heaven. Would you come? Preacher, I need to be saved. I'm going to come. If you're a lady, one of the ladies will show you how to be saved. Take just a second. You'll be able to leave here knowing you're going to heaven when you die. Be settled once and for all. If you're a gentleman, you come. One of the men will speak with you and show you how to be saved. Won't you get it settled this morning? Come on. There's still time. There's still time. God's speaking to your heart. Come on. Come on.